Rishon Halacha Lamed. He's Zoher Ushmor Nafshecha Penti Lokei Berushu. So a person should be very careful and should guard his neshama and should not fall into the trap. Shal Yetzohara Hamadichacha Me Eretz Chayim, was trying to push you off this earth. V'Hamasi Alamashiacha, that is trying to incite you, is trying to persuade you L'Dvar Avera Ketana, to do a small Avera L'Hamshech. That is the nature of the Yetzirah, the slippery slope syndrome. The Yetzirah will never come to you and ask you to do a very, very big avera. Never, ever. And the Yetzirah only comes to ask you to do a little avera. And then when you nichshal and little avera, then you go a little to the next avera. You go madrega, and very quickly you go down the slippery slope. Before you turn around, you wake up, you're in a place you never, ever in your wildest dreams thought you would be. All starts with little things. You got to nip it in the bud. That's the rule. That's the psychology. Once you know the psychology of the Yetzer Hara, you know how to deal. There's no, they do in the CIA. They study people. They study people. They study what makes them tick. Okay, they deal people who they need to manipulate, and they analyze his behavior. And therefore, they make predictions based upon his behavior. If you'll do this, this is how he will react. If you'll do this, this is how he'll react. And therefore, once we know the way his mind works, his tendencies and his nature, then we're able to manipulate him. We're able to be one step ahead of him and do things and say things which we can control the narrative. By knowing the psychology of another person, we can control and manipulate their behavior. So we can use this to our advantage. We know how the Yetzer Hara works. We have a file on the Yetzer Hara. We know his technique. His technique is to ask you to do a little thing. And his goal is do the little thing, then you go to the next, to the next, to the next. So just be one step ahead. Don't give in when he asks you to do the little thing, because that will protect you.
So is the Yetzer Hara internal or is it an external
force? Internal.
That's
the Satan and the Yetzer Hara, the Malach HaMavis, they're all the same. They're all the same. The Chazal say this. Chazal say, why are they called external force? Person kills himself. What? Chazal say before, that was the difference before the Chet Eitz Hadas and after the Chet Eitz Hadas. Before the Chet Eitz Hadas, the Yetzer Hara was external. And after the Chet Eitz Hadas, the Yetzer Hara is internal. Ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra min ha'uraf. Those are just words. Do I understand what those words mean? I have no idea.
It's a natural part of our psyche.
Yes. Well, no, it's not true. It's a natural part of our psyche to be good. You have a yetzer toif, but there is a struggle. There is a struggle. It's both. That's the truth. It's both. It's part of your nature to be both. There's two elements. The person is in the neshama elokai. Neshama shenasata bi tohoirihi atov rasata yitzaratata nefachtabi. A person is a chelik melokai mimal. A person's neshama is a piece of Hashem. Hashem is kulutoif. But yet in our neshama, it has also been added a yetzahara. So it's both. You have within you both elements, and there is an internal struggle. Okay, that's what Chazal say. L'chayru, the force of good is even greater because a person's neshama, the essence of the neshama is the Ribbono Shel Olam. It also happens to be the Yetzer Hara has come into the picture. He's also there. And we know that the Yetzer Hara has a 13-year head start. When a person is born, it's very powerful, the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Tov is also there, obviously. It's part of the neshama, but the Yates, a person first really comes in tune, comes into contact, into awareness of the good element of his neshama when he's 13 years old. It's dormant for 13 years. But the Yetzer Hara is in full force for the first 13 years. Every child is terribly selfish. There's no such thing as a selfless child. The whole essence of a child is selfishness. He wants this, he wants that. The whole world revolves around the child. We all know it to be true. When we were children, the whole world revolves around us. A baby, I have to eat. I don't care. It's the middle of the night for you. If I want to eat, I get to eat. I want to sleep, I get to sleep. I do what I want. And
I
you get
like that now.
What? But you control yourself.
Second childhood.
You control yourself. It's sad. You show it's very sad. Some people, the elderly people, they become extremely selfish.
So
it's frightening.
Not Jewish guy, right? There's some of them who are totally non-religious. Some of them are very good. Some of them are not good.
That means they're religious. If you have, people who tell you they're humanitarian, that means they're religious. It just they don't understand. They don't understand. Like I told you, the vast majority of atheists wake up every morning and they say Modani. Modani lefnechem el chayvek yom. I thank you, Hashem, that you made me an atheist. It's a fact. It's a fact. Most atheists, they thank Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. We bring the shalom. I give you so much thank, Chodov v'shavach, for making me an atheist. That's what it's all about. That's what an atheist really is most of the time. There are a few real there are mishugoyim out there. Don't kid yourself. There are a lot of crazy nutcases out there. But when you start questioning people who identify as an atheist, you'll be very surprised that they know quite a bit about it. They have quite a bit of emunah. It's very, very shocking. Very shocking. So all of these questionnaires and the statistics of who's an atheist and who's a this and who's a that, don't take them so seriously. Anyway, let's go further. So therefore, over here we know how he operates. And once we know he operates, we can use to our advantage, and we can be careful to guard ourselves from the Yetzer Hara. Further, next, Hashbileu v'hachni'eu li'mosem yadcha, a person should work to lower him and humble him, that he should be delivered into your hand. The atolotia nimsar biyadoi, don't be delivered into his hand. You should whip the Yetzer Hara into shape. You take the lead. You control the narrative. Right? You know, like an expression? You control the narrative. You be the boss. You control. You call the shots. Don't let him. V'atolotia nimsar biyodei pen yivyachal leve'er shachas. He will take you to Gehenim, the pit of destruction. Be'esh lo nupach, a fire that has not been fanned. A fire that's fanned is cooler than a fire that has not been fanned. Lo v'lo ye yitzricha hara nimsar biyodcha. The only way you will succeed in having the Yetzer Hara under your control is through teshuva, repentance. A person should not eat too much meat. Okay, isn't that interesting? Watch what you eat. The Iker, this is what it says in the Musa Sfarim, which I don't think people pay too much attention to today. This technique is a lot of control, discipline, and everything you do in your life begins with discipline in eating, in food, dieting. A person who is in control of his diet is way ahead of the game in every manner, in every different dimension of his life. What?
Self,
and that overflows in regard to everything, in your religious duties, in your performance, in everything you do, in davening, in learning, in the sioinos, in doing averos, everything. If a person can control his diet, put himself on a very disciplined diet, what he eats, what he does not eat, you're way ahead of the game.
Well, how come you have real big B'nai Torah who are very obese or very,
it's obviously smoking, there's something very wrong. It obviously means, just because a person is a brilliant Talmud Chacham and he wrote Sfarim and he's well respected and he has a position, it doesn't really mean that much. We all know this to be true. Just because a person is a position of authority and he has a big yeshiva and a big rashiva,
He's
a very big Talmud Chacham.
And he's a big Baal Musar and everything else. And
if he's really a big Baal Musar, then he would control what he eats. I'm sorry to say, he would control what he eats. There are different situations where it's hormonal. Okay, there are things that are definitely a matter of hormones that are not in your control. There's no question about it. There are people, it's well known today, documented, that there are people that are obese that can do absolutely nothing about it. It's a matter that their hormones are just abnormal, and they need serious help, doctors and medication. Okay, that not discussing those type of people, But let's say you talk about the average person. The average person is no different than anyone else. And if you'll go to a doctor, he'll tell you hormones are average. All the numbers are just right smack in the middle. So for you, there's no excuse to be where you're holding now. It's just a matter of bad habits. Kick the habit. And if a person, and for your own health, your own whatever it is, and it's all the same thing, in that it shows you don't have discipline. If there's no discipline in this matter, then obviously that's an indication you have a problem with Musar. So today, having a problem with Musar is not considered to be a flaw. We know for a fact there are very people who are tremendous geniuses, Talmidei Chacham, second to none, and we know their midos are pathetic. The way they deal with people, the way they speak, the way they deal. So today, no one cares. Today, it's part of the game. I tell you once a story. I told this a person who was a big Talmud Chacham and a very fine Baal Midas, and someone said to his mother, someone very seriously, you must be Baalei Tshuva. You must be Baalei Tshuva, because all of the people that I know, the Talmidei Chachamim, they don't have good Midas. They're nasty. They're nasty people. So if you have good Midas, it can't be that you're mainstream. You must be your Baal Tshuva. Mm-hmm. And that's a very, unfortunately, that's a very true statement, a very good observation, because today we don't... The Musar movement is dead. Make no mistake about it. The Musar movement is dead. And it's true. Again, you can't generalize, because there are people who are obese, and it's nothing, it's purely a matter of hormones. It's a hormonal problem, and they know it. And but we're not talking about those type of people. We're talking about people who just let themselves go for no good reason. And that's a different type of story. Okay, so he says over here, a person should keep control what he eats. If you control what you eat, you very well know that the tainus harayvit. Everyone knows tainus harayvit? The tainus harayvit is never finish the portion of food on your plate. If you're given a steak, a delicious, delicious steak, you leave over. You leave over a piece. To show I'm in control, not the piece of meat. You'll say to me, the steak costs $50. If I leave over a little piece, that's like leaving over $5. Would I take a $5 little flush it down the toilet? Never. So by not eating that little piece, I'm flushing down the toilet $5. So you can give it to your children, you can give it to someone else, you can put it away. And if you can't, so you know something? It's kedai to pay $5. It's kedai to pay $5 to go. People go for therapy to a psychologist, and they'll give $300 an hour for therapy, that the psychologist should teach him how to control his tivus. So $5 is a bargain. To throw in the garbage $5 worth of good meat to show, listen, I'm in control here, not the steak. That's not the boss. $5 is a bargain. People would go pay a lot more, $300 an hour, to go to a psychologist. The psychologist should knock some sense into his head not to be a Baal Taiva. Yeah.
Non-Jewish people, secular Jews, think religious guy is control because it doesn't eat
treif.
You can control yourself.
Not eat treif. Today it's not. Today the kosher food is better. The kosher food is better. You can get a pomegranate stuff you can't get anywhere else. And it's all kosher. Okay, try to get some of the stuff you see in pomegranate. You can't get that by the grocery world. Go to ShopRite. It doesn't come anywhere near the type of meats and fish and cheeses. You say cheese? You know those cheeses? You know what kind of cheese they have there in pomegranate? One of a kind. You can't find this in any supermarket in the world to find some of the exclusive cheeses and exclusive cuts of meat that you can find in some of the Jewish stores. So today, that's not really, a good excuse. So I'll tell you a little bit of a joke. Someone wrote a little country, made a joke, a Purim spiel about, it was of Chanukah. Purim on Chanukah is about donuts. And one of the jokes he made about the donuts is that donuts, there's no such thing as a tainus harayvit. What does tainus harayvit mean? Tainus harayvit means that if you eat food, you leave over. You leave over. Don't eat. So if you eat a donut, on Hanukkah, you know, don't eat the whole donut to show I'm in control. I'm in control by not eating the whole donut. Hanukkah, there's no, automatically, whenever there's a joke, Rabbi, so don't get, when you eat a whole donut, it's always a tiny sarai, because the nesayin is another donut. So when you eat one donut, what's the tainus harayvit? Then you don't eat the next donut. You don't have to leave over part of the donut. If you eat a steak, a whole steak, it's not such a taiva oh, I want a waiter, I want another steak. It's not very common. So the tainus sarayv it is, don't finish the whole steak. But when a donut, the tainus is another donut. So that's the tainus, always the tainus sarayv it. Okay, that was a little bit of a joke. Let's go further. Let's go further.
It's a holy joke.
Okay, so therefore, food is this all about. Zechor no. A person should think to the future, to think to the next world. If a person is good, he will receive reward. If a person is not good, he's not a good person. The way the Rashi learns the pasuk in Bereishis is that la pesach by the front door. Chatos, the Yetzahara Reveitz is lying. The Yetzahara is waiting for you. He's lurking in the background and can't wait for you to slip up, to mess up. He's always there. He's loyal, so loyal, just waiting by your front door for you to slouch off, to get tired and lazy, and then he will take hold of you. It is interesting, he does not discuss another principle that a lot of the Baalei Teshuva write about, a lot of the Sefer Teshuva is good sleep. A lot of averos are done by a person because they're tired. They just did not get a good night's sleep. When a person does not get a good night's sleep and he's physically tired, it's very easy to do averos. All different types of averos. To speak Lashon Hara, to look at things you're not supposed to eat foods that are not 100% kosher, to not slouch off in davening. It's very, very interesting. Good sleep is an antidote to a major chunk of a person's averos. A person doesn't want to do averos. A person wants to be good. And once a person gets into a bad habit, you start doing averos, you start speaking Lashon Hara, you start talking during davening, it's very hard to kick a bad habit. And how do bad habits start? I'm just tired and lazy. If you got a good night's sleep, you would have a little bit more, you would think a little bit better, you'd have a little more courage, a little more zest in life, clarity in life, and you would not get into these bad habits. So it's just a matter of getting a good night's sleep, a matter of going to a dietitian, eating a good diet, controlling your food, and you're really 95% ahead of everyone else in this world. You're already mamash your way to Olam Haba. It's that easy. Unfortunately, and myself included, no, it's not so, you know, we things that seem so simple, we just have a hard time doing. The simple things, no one's asking anyone to do crazy things, just get a good night's sleep. Just try to control your diet. Don't take a second portion. Try a little bit harder. And that has a major effect on your mind and your attitude in life and your behavior. And you find you're not doing averos, you find you start thinking about Hashem more often, you're a better person. And one thing leads to the next. You become a ben olam haba. Instead of worrying, no, what's going to be in the next world? Where am I going to be holding in the next world? What's going to be with my neshama? Okay, so these are simple things that you don't really even need a book to tell you. That you learn certain things. You don't need a sefer to tell you this. It's obvious, intuitive. Next, Viata ben Adam.
Is it right that...
Welcome back. How are you feeling?
Is it right that person who have good life here, they have good life in Olam Haba? Those people who have problem here, the same problematic situation.
So you're saying something very, very good. You're saying that the Olam says, we are brought up with this principle that if a person suffers in this world, it means he's going to have an Olam Haba, because Hashem is punishing him in this world for all of his averos. So he suffers, he has yisurin, and then the next world it's going to be bliss. But a person who's doing very well in this world, very well in this world, it means that in the next world he's going to be punished. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you something, and it said we learned this actually once. Guess what? That's a myth. That it's usually 90% of the time just the opposite. People who are happy in this world and have a good life in this world have a very good Olam Haba. And people who are miserable in this world are miserable in the next world. Why? No, it's a fact. It's a fact. People who are happy and good in this world, Hashem is giving them paradise in this world so they can continue to serve Hashem. They might not be the multi-billionaires. They might not be. But you look at the people who are happy people and everything is Baruch Hashem, okay. No one is perfect in this world. Everyone has a peckle, but people are able to happily deal with their issues in life, and they appear to be happy, good people. It means they have emunah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is helping them get through this world. It means in the next world they have even better. And people who are miserable, nasty people in this world, it means because they're doing averos, and the nastiness leads to one avera, another avera, another avera. They're miserable in this world, and you can just imagine how miserable they're going to be in the next world when they have to clean up all the garbage they left behind in this world. Oh, but Chazal say, Eis asher oiv Hashem hu yochiach, a person who Hashem loves, he brings yisurim. Those are the exceptions. It's definitely true. You can go into go into the hospital and go look what goes on there in the hospital, Rachmana Litzlan, where people suffer in Achinami. But the Derech Klal, that is the exception. Hashem indeed brings upon people Gefer Lecho Yisurim to prepare them for the next world, but not their whole life. Different Kufis or Yechidim who are very unique people. But the average person, if you're living a good life in this world, it usually means it's going to be good in the next world. Okay, we have to go further now. No more questions. Next.
I have more to
you
question.
Only get one lifeline. This is not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You only get one lifeline here. Only one, not three. Okay, we're machmir. Weiter. Next halacha. Halacha lamid aleph. Okay, halacha, first of all, finish the paragraph. The chatos means the yetzer hara, is la pesach. Reveitz is lying by the front door waiting to chap you, waiting for a moment when you're vulnerable to convince you to do an avera. Next paragraph. Ya'atah ben adam, shuv liyetzercha b'chol levavcha du teshuva. Return to your Creator with all of your heart. Prepare your heart. Use your kidneys. The kidneys, Chazal tell us, they make the decisions. Okay, it's the part, I guess, all the blood. The kidneys is the largest organ in the body. It collects all the blood. It filters the blood. It also acts like. And I'm sorry, not the kidneys. The liver. I made a mistake. The liver. The liver is the largest organ in the body. The kidneys filter the blood. Okay, they kill, and therefore it cleans out. It decides what's good. The kidneys decide what's good and what's no good. It makes decisions. That's a mashal for a person should make decisions that are proper. You should think very carefully. Lift up your eyes. V'yoher elecha b'simcha and v'yoher elecha b'simcha. I don't know what that means. You should be enlightened with joy. Enlighten your face. I don't know what it means. It means be positive. Be positive in life. Have a positive outlook in life. Be optimistic. V'al yach shilcha yetzahara b'chayecha. Don't let the yetzahara get you down and tell you you're done. V'chol yoyim v'layla shuv el levavcha du teshuva ki achar hamaves yeshchibut kakever. It's not fun in the next world. At least not until you get to the Gan Eden. It's called chibut hakever. What is that? What is chibut hakever? I have no idea. No one came back to tell us. But it doesn't sound like it's fun. In the grave, chibud means banging, right? Chibud means to be banging. There is some type of pain that the neshama experiences in the kever. Chazal tell us that the neshama is a yo-yo. After death, the neshama keeps on going up and down, from shamayim down to the grave, and looks at its body, and hovers over the body, and then and mourns and watches the body decay. And then it goes up to Shemayim. And then for some reason in Shemayim it says, you know what, I'm lonely here. I'd rather be back on earth. I miss my earthly existence. And it comes down. And it looks at the body. And it sees it decay and says, this world is garbage. It's nothing here. Go back up to Shemayim. Go back to Shemayim. I'm not happy here. I don't feel comfortable. And this is Gehenna. This is torture. It is torture, the struggle the neshama experiences going up and down like a yo-yo for 12 months. For 12 months, the neshama keeps on going back and forth because the neshama, being in this world for such a long period of time, has a connection. Okay? It enjoys. The neshama feels part. This is my home. this is where I belong, in this world. I've been here for such a long time. And when the person dies, it doesn't just disappear and go to Shemaim, everything is bliss and fine. The neshama wants to return to this world. And it's painful. But yet it recognizes that this world has nothing to offer for it. So it goes to Shemaim. But in Shemaim it feels uncomfortable. I don't really feel that this is where I belong. And there is a process of going up and down until finally after 12 months the neshama realizes, you know what? I don't belong in this world. That's really the truth. I'm very happy to go and go to Shemayim, to where I've come from, to the Kisei HaKavod, the Chulu V'Chulu. So it's a very painful process going up and down like a yo-yo. And it's called the Chibur Takever. It's in the grave, there's banging. What's the banging? The banging is the motion of going up and down. You make a hard landing. Ever in a plane, when the plane, the pilot's not such a good pilot, and the plane lands hard, a real hard zets. Not every pilot knows how to land a soft landing. Some of them land zets. It's a real hard landing. You got to make sure that they have good shock absorbers on the wheels of the planes for the pilots who don't know what they're doing, who don't know how to land the plane. And that's called Chibur HaKever. When the neshama comes down to the ground, it comes down a hard landing. Okay, there are no shock absorbers on your wings when you come down to the earth, and the landing can be very painful. And then it decides to go back up to Shemayim, back and forth. This is Chibur HaKever. Then you think you finished with that? And I finished yet with the Chibur HaKever. After comes Gehenna. Finally, when it goes to Shemayim, they say, Neshama, you want to come to Shemayim? We got to shape you up. We got to clean you up. Okay, you got some stains on your neshama. We got to send you to the dry cleaners. And you know where the dry cleaners is? Yeah. Gehenim. It sends you there. V'achrav dina shel Gehenim hamar. Ki v'mar yivkoyun sheyidu koyach la'odam sheyisbul koyach ha'yisurin. What's about Gehenim?
Where is Adam?
What?
Where is Adam? Adam is v'yach afar v'yefer.
This is the neshama. The neshama of a person.
The
neshama of the person. The neshama first goes through the pain of death. Chazal tells us death itself is an extremely painful experience. For the neshama to leave the guf is very painful. Then it goes through the pain of chibut hakever. Then it goes through the pain of gehenim. Now look what he says about it. He says something very, very fascinating about gehenim. In gehenim, person davens. You know what he davens for? That Hashem should give me the koyach to endure the pain. That I should be able to withstand the pain. Because the pain is so powerful, the person can just cease to exist. He needs koyach to withstand the pain. Frightening stuff. Ki v'mar yivkoyun.
I don't understand. So he can't handle the pain. I mean, there's no
option. I don't know. There's no other option, right? I don't know. I really don't know.
He gives up. I mean, he's gone, you know.
You're asking the wrong guy. I don't know. I have no clue what this means. I'm just translating the words. Ki v'mar yivkoyun. In heaven, in Gehenim, they have shachris, mincha, and ma'ariv, and occasionally tehillim for those neshamas that are not doing too well. Okay, they have three. They have tefillah. They daven. And what do they daven for? Ribbono shel Olam, give me the koyach to survive this. To survive the yisurin so I can be cleansed from my sins, so I can go to Gan Eden. Ki v'mar yivkoyun. In Gehenim, they daven. They cry in Gehenim. Sheyitnu koyach, give power. Le'adam to man, sheyisboil koyach ha'yisurin. Ve'oid, now you think you're finished? You're not finished yet. Ve'achar sheyinatzel midishol Gehenim, yesh dinim acherim, koshim morim. There's more. What's more doesn't tell us what more is, I don't know. Gam harim asher teitzim mibusarcha, toichalas nivlascha. There's another element, which we don't know what this means, is that every time a worm eats into man's flesh, the neshama has pain. Now, when is there this pain? Before Gehenim? After Gehenim? It doesn't really say. V'yamru chachamim kosha rima lemeis kimachat b'sarachai. No fool will take a needle and stick it into his flesh. It'll be very painful. Well, after a person dies, when the worms eat away at his flesh, it's very painful. No one has any clue what these things mean. And also, not there's another chazal that tell us, do you think it's all over? So finally, you've gone through all this torture. The worms have eaten away. The pain of death, the pain of being sick before the person dies, Rachman l'san, chas v'shalom. And then there is chibur hakever. And then there's going to be Gehenna. And now, it says there are other forms of punishment. He's not even telling us what they are. But then it says that a person then finally, at the end of the day, he goes and they take him to Gan Eden and they give him a palace. They give him a beautiful palace with a swimming pool and a jacuzzi and a pina colada. It's like you've never seen before. Everything is there. And then, finally, not so fast. You look across the street and you see there's even a more beautiful palace. Who lives there across the street? Your neighbor. Or the guy you knew in Yeshiva Katan, or this guy you knew, the collector. The guy who was coming to shul collecting. He is living in that palace? The guy across the street who has double, triple than what I have? What did he do to deserve it? And they tell you what he did. You never knew. And you say, wow. And then it eats you up. Fire burns within you. Wow, I had the same opportunity to do exactly that mitzvah that fellow across the street did, and I passed it up. I am so jealous.
So this kid...
That's what it says. It says, Beferish, you burnt. A person is burnt from the chuposoi shel chaveroi. When you see what your friend has, and you recognize you could have had the same thing, and you just let the opportunity slip by, that is the ultimate pain. It makes all the other pains child play.
After death, there is still jealousy?
Yes.
So
yes, wow. Yes. And that jealousy, the pain of that jealousy, is infinitely greater than all of the surim, chibur hakever, the rima, because that's all negative punishment. There are two types of punishment. Punishment is, I'm going to give you a patch for misbehaving. Give you a patch. The much more intense punishment is you say, I'm not going to punish you. I just want to show you what you lost out on. Because you did this avera, look, you see that? You see that thing over there? You see that beautiful item? That experience? You're not getting it. It was meant for you. That was meant to go to you. But because you did this avera, or because you did not take advantage of an opportunity to do a mitzvah, you're not getting it. And that is torture. That torture is infinitely greater than the torture of, you did an avera, patch. I'll take you now 6 months to recover from the black and blue marks. No, I got black and blue marks, I recovered, I'm done. But when you see what you lost out, and no one touched me, no one patched me, there's no black and blue marks. But when you recognize what you could have had and what's been denied because of your foolish mistakes, wow, that is the ultimate torture. And that's the torture that a person has in the Olam HaEmes. To get to the Olam HaEmes, you got to suffer quite a bit. And then when you get there, there's jealousy. Now, Rabbi Yisai, I don't want to make it, this is not really nice to talk like this, because even though everything we were saying, we have emunah, is 100% true. I can't tell you guys that we have to have emunah for all this. This is what it says in the books. No one can tell us, but we have to also realize the tainug, the enjoyment that one experiences in the next world, is something that's beyond past our comprehension. So it's both. It's a complicated world. We look in this world, everything is black and white. We have a very hard time multitasking, a very hard time trying to see many dimensions to the same thing. It's almost impossible. But in the next world, it's very complicated. It's both at the same time. The tainuk of what one has accomplished, one has done, is beyond description. But Chazal tell us there's another dimension at the same time. We don't understand how these things work. It's all very theoretical. It sounds like science fiction, even more than science fiction. It's just impossible, some of these concepts, to really absorb and swallow. But that's what it says. You have to have emunah in all of these very mystical ideas. We'll stop here on page Nun Aleph.
If I have a pain here, all of my body feels it.
Yes.
Yes. If we say that neshama is pushing for the machine, and you can't neshama shanatato. When the neshama is torching, suffering, everybody is suffering.
Yes.
Hashem is suffering also.
Yes. Answer is yes.
Okay.
Remember what you was there first.
Yeah, sorry.
This is my Yosef, but the Rugzeh Yosef.
tzaddikim mevakshim leishay v'shalva. My Kaddish Baruch Hu, loy dayon tzaddikim. My Hashem v'sugim v'amoy l'mabo. Elish mevakshim leishay v'shalva mazeh. That can't be.
That's the exception. Tell you, generally speaking, a person that's doing good in this, generally, a lot of exceptions. But people that are, you know, okay in this world, it means they're okay in the next world. People that are miserable in this world.
But you see, great rabbanim, they have such a pain here, hospitalization.
Those are the exceptions. Unfortunately, we know it's very true. There are a lot of exceptions. There are a lot of exceptions. There are a lot of
tzaddikim. He said something about this. I don't know which in the realm. When they left, Hashem showed them what they could have had. Because
that's psychological torture.
But you were saying, something different. You were saying what someone else.
This is still in the problem. A guy passes away and comes to all of my boss. And he sees a rabbi beard sitting on a gemara. Next to him is a beautiful, sexy girl. He says, "Is that your reward? I'm her punishment."
Very good.
That's a point of view, you know.
Very good. Very good.
My father used to explain to me that was part of our Tzadik Harbe was, if you go, in other words, part of the Eight Sahara is, you know, when you come home and do all this chumra and you do it because you're not going to be able to keep it up forever. And then you're going to get down on yourself. Now the Eight Sahara is going to push you to say, oh, you can't do this, can't do this, can't do this. That's what it means, Alti Tzadik Harbe.
Good, I like it. It's a good verse.
He knows that's what's going to end. The result is that you're going to get